Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome, welcome. It's great to have you here on a Monday afternoon. And boy, we got an awful lot to talk about over the next 4 hours. Luckily, we got a big full show today. Tomorrow, we're going to get preempted quite a bit. We're going to have about a half an hour tomorrow, and then it's going to be Warriors and Pelican. Fly, Pelican, fly. We got the Warriors continuing to find a way to win after a loss. It's like it's the safest bet in America. The Golden State Warriors are going to win the next game after they lose. That continues. Good for them after a very disappointing game in Memphis. It was just a funny game for the Warriors. It really was. But we got an awful lot of football to talk about today, even though the Raiders did not play this weekend. They obviously lost at Arrowhead on Thursday, and it's a stinging defeat. Today's the day we get to talk to Jack Del Rio about that. He's going to be joining me live at 3:30. We're going to get into Warriors Pelican. We're going to do that today with David Wesley, longtime NBA player, now part of the Pelican broadcasting team. He's going to join us at 4 o'clock. Tim Roy, who is, of course, part of your broadcasting team. Golden State Warrior play-by-play voice on the radio, Tim Roy, joins us at 4:30. We're going to check in with Howard Balzer today. He covers the NFL from St. Louis, and everyone in St. Louis is getting a little belly laugh over the now Los Angeles Rams, who have let go of Jeff Fisher. Au revoir, Fisher. Au revoir. Marcus Thompson, he's coming up at 6:15. We'll have a Dell replay for you at one point in time, too, in case you missed the conversation we have with Coach. Coming up live at 3:30, we'll have that again for you at 5:30. We got an awful lot of stuff to talk about, and coming up on today's show, we are going to get into the fact that the Warriors' second unit got them a win in Minnesota. We're going to get into the fact that there is a proposal to have guns freely brought into an NFL stadium. That just sounds ridiculous to me. If that doesn't sound like a bad idea, I don't know what does. We will talk today about the press release from the Board of Supervisors saying that Alameda County and the city of Oakland have announced details of a plan for a new football stadium, a mixed-use development to encourage the Oakland Raiders to remain in Oakland. We're going to get to that. We'll also get to the Pro Football Talk column about how Adelson and Davis make for strange bedfellows indeed. We got an awful lot for you today. But I feel like we should start with the San Francisco 49ers, don't you? I know I do. Albie, could you cue up the 49er fight song for me? Can you get that ready to go so we can really set the mood for a Niner conversation?
This is a world-renowned region, and we should host world-renowned events.
We obviously built this stadium in Santa Clara.
Jim Harbaugh built Levi Stadium. I mean, they were struggling, and as soon as Jim Harbaugh came along and started taking them to NFC Championship games, interest obviously gets better.
It's a great place. People are not going to want to go home, and this could be the start of the new San Francisco 49ers. And I know the guys, they respected what had happened at Candlestick, but now they can make their own history at Levi's Stadium. You can
really breathe in San Jose. Not a raucous crowd, at least at this point. Maybe people are getting used to the new environment. 49ers haven't played particularly well at home. The two games we've been there for, they lost.
Whatever you want your experience to be, I think you're going to be able to create it. I'm really excited to see how 68,500 people can create their own unique individual experience every time they come to Levi's Stadium.
So it's going to be loud. Is it going to be louder than, you know, our friends up north? It's hard to say, but the best thing to do is have a good winning team and a great, loud fan base.
Oh, San Francisco 49ers are not a team that this city wants anything to do with anymore. I think we might have to break up with the Niners officially a little bit later on this week. We really do. I have to sit down and write them a goodbye letter, because this is that is a franchise-defining defeat that they had this past Wednesday. What am I even talking about? It doesn't even matter when they play. This last Sunday. Yesterday is the day I'm trying to come up with in my mind. It's a disaster. I mean, there's just no other way to say it. What happened in Chicago last week was what I really thought was going to be amongst the worst, the low point, the whatever of this completely dead-on-arrival 2016 season. But then you're up 14-0 against Bryce Petty and a team that wanted to quit all around him. And honestly, with the way that they started yesterday, I thought, okay, all right, you know what? Even the 49ers are going to come out and play with a little bit of pride today after that embarrassment. Look at the good start that they're having. I really thought that this would be the one game that they would use to get out all their frustration. All the criticism, all the laughing, all the jeering, all the mocking, just finally they were going to get reach a game where they were going to throw down the hammer like every normal NFL team does at least once a year. Have one good week. Unless you're the Cleveland Browns, you can expect one good week a year, no matter who you root for. And I really thought that this might be that one good week, and then the team could let everybody sort out the fact that it was only the Jets tomorrow on Sports Talk Radio. But today, as a team, we are going to kick some ass because we haven't all year, and today we can. Like, let's beat the New York Jets like they're some directional school. After all, the Jets lost by, 31 the week before? Had Bryce Petty at quarterback. They lose Matt Forte early in the game. They looked like they wanted to quit. But the San Francisco 49ers refused to let the New York Jets quit. And I've never quite seen anything quite like that. The Niners jumping off sides on the game-losing play in overtime. I mean, that's almost taken bad football to an art form. It really is. That's as bad as it gets. That's officially as bad as it gets. The collapse, I mean, it's all you can see when you're looking at this team. At halftime, the offense was kind of in control. They out-yarded the Jets 279 to 118. They led 17-3 at the half against a team that quit on national TV the week before. They stopped doing anything in the second half other than giving the ball to Carlos Hyde, who, by the way, had a very good game. Carlos Hyde, that guy is a good player on a bad football team. Carlos Hyde did everything he could, but while that was happening, nobody else did anything, including a defense that gave up 20 unanswered points. Colin Kaepernick had 4 passing yards in the second half. 13 more in overtime, so he was just saving it, you know. Kelly said that he got scared in the second half, that he got too conservative in the second half, and there's no doubt that the man who is known for being the offensive genius was anything but yesterday.
Yeah, that's on me as the play caller, but I just really wasn't confident. You lost fans, you lost Torrey. You got 2 new guys in there in the offensive line, making sure we were good with protections. You know, they were bringing a lot of zero blitzes, got to get the ball out quick, make sure we got the guys picked up. But yeah, that's on me.
By the way, it sounds like Chip Kelly's going through the verbal motions. So, yeah, you know, we had a bad second half, and we were going to... Like, he's not... The words don't even matter. He's just trying to... Like, I know for a fact that I'm kind of obliged to talk for at least 25 seconds for you can get a decent answer and a soundbite. So what I'm going to do is I'm just going to fill this 25 seconds with a whole bunch of stuff that really doesn't tantamount to anything. And is that good? Good. That's what Chip Kelly now sounds like. We are tuning him out. The team insists they're not, but God almighty, it's just... unbelievable how bad they are. Now, someone says here on the text line, Damon, you're never pleased about anything. Had they had won, you'd be bitching on how they affected their draft pick. And you might be right, but there's also the game in the moment that you're in. And in that moment, I really thought the Niners were going to get a win. And the fact that they haven't had a win, and now a franchise record 12 weeks in a row, I thought 11 was enough. Like, you can end the suffering here. 11 wins and 11 losses in a row. That's enough for any team to handle. Give the Niners one more win in front of a raucous capacity crowd. No, not a raucous capacity crowd. No. In front of a 45% full Levi Stadium. And see what happens. One victory in the last 4 months, that's all they have to show for it. Let me ask you right now. This is a straight-up honest question. Was Jim Tomsula a bona fide Coach of the Year candidate last year, getting this team to 5 wins? I mean, that's how bad things have become. Jim Tomsula looks like the one that got away at this point. The only team the 49ers have beaten all year fired their coach today. Chip Kelly, I don't know if he's going anywhere. Trent Baalke has to be fired, and if the Niners were smart, they would do it before the end of business today, so they could really start
a nationwide search for a general manager, which we all know will conclude at Tom Gamble's office.
And then Tom Gamble, when he does replace Baalke, if that's indeed what happens, will give his pal, Chip Kelly, one more year. And without a quarterback, I don't know where you get next year. At least Vance McDonald signed up. Too bad he's on IR the day after he signed his new deal. This is absurd.
Do I have to tell you what absurd means?
This is an absurd situation, and the only thing that makes it more absurd, the only thing that makes it more absurd is the story that the cavalry's coming to save the day. Here come John and Denise York riding in on Shetland ponies. Not big white stallions, tiny little miniature horses. Here come Jed and Denise and Dr. John. Well, Jed, he might have to walk behind the Shetland ponies and just scoop up the poop at this point. Are you telling me that John and Denise York have answers? Because I'm going to tell you right now that I know for a fact they don't. Their hands-on track record is an absolute disaster. This is the worst stretch in the history of the franchise, and it's the family's fault. Remember, Jed was the guy that was going to save you from John and Denise. And now John and Denise might come in to save everybody from Jed? That's like saying, what are you talking about? Stevie Wonder's your Uber driver. That's a terrible idea. You should have called Ray Charles. It's insane. The only thing, and this isn't even a shot. This isn't me attacking anyone. This is me sharing reality with you. The only thing the Yorks have truly accomplished is making the most money they've ever made off this team while driving it into the ground. That's the first line of the obituary for the whole family. They found a way to increase profit while at the same time devaluing the team to a point that no one ever even thought possible in terms of fan reaction. You've turned off your entire fan base. You are driving people away from a new stadium. You don't appeal to the casual fan, which is what that stadium was built to do. That stadium was built to appeal to the casual fan, and they made a lot of sacrifices that would have appealed to the diehard to make it so cozy, comfortable, and casual. While you turn off all the casual fans you hope to court, the diehards were finished to begin with. And I really don't know how you get this back anytime soon. You know, the 49ers had one of the great fan bases, not in the NFL, but in sports. And you've never seen a group of people care less about something that they cared so deeply about. This isn't disloyalty. This is smart. Who could possibly support the decisions of this current group? It's insane. Can we talk about Levi's Stadium here? Can we give you what is officially now the butcher's bill on this stadium? It opened in 2014, and the 49ers went 8-8 on the season. In 2015, the Tom Sula year, they went 5-11 on the season. 2016 has been the worst season in team history. They're sitting at 1-12. The home record in Santa Clara to date is 9-14. They won four games in 2014. Four of Tom Sula's five wins came at home. Kelly is now 1-6. The last home game this season is against Seattle, and I'm going to go out on the edge and say I don't care how many interceptions Russ Wilson threw yesterday. That feels like 1-7 to me. So you're looking at 9-15 in your new home. You got tickets that cost a $20,000 down payment to begin with as an SBL that sell for $350 a pop on game day, and you can't turn around and give those away on StubHub for $40. The luxury seats, Santa Clara Heights, all those thicker, cushier seats in between the 40s, let's be totally honest, those have been empty since day one. Those have pretty much sat empty since day one. You got a block of red empty seats in between the 40-yard lines, and I would even argue that that is the defining feature of this Sola Stadium. Hello, Gianna.
Hi, was that a loud cough? Sorry.
We haven't heard from you since you coughed right there, and if you're wondering why I cut Gianna out of this, it's because, well, as soon as she finished her update, she got up and she walked out of the studio, and now she's come back and she's sitting on the other side of the studio. Did you have a malfunction?
Yes. My update desk area is malfunctioning. It's not, the headphones aren't working, so I can't hear what's happening on the show. So,
tough to do a show.
Yes. So that's why we have so many options here in our nice new studios.
But you're further away.
I know. I feel like going, hi.
Hello. So big and spacious the new studio is. Gianna coming from the East Wing.
Yes, exactly. So, but yeah, I'm good to go now.
Good. Glad to have you. It's year three of this operation, Levi Stadium. It's year three. There should still be a line of fans who just want to see the place out of curiosity. I mean, that's the honest to God's truth. Doesn't even matter what the team's record is. Curiosity should be packing them in there. Word of the mouth shuts down more restaurants than any restaurant critic ever has. Michael Bauer thinks he's got an awful lot of power in this town, and indeed he does, as the San Francisco Chronicle's chief restaurant critic. But here's the deal. If the critic doesn't like it, but enough people do, the critic's voice will be drowned out. The people vote with their line. How long is the line for your brunch spot, your lunch spot, your sandwich, your menu item? How long is your line? Long lines to food do not lie. Short lines to stadiums don't lie either. The people, not the critics, not the sports talk host, not me, not Damon Bruce, not anybody else on this station, not anyone on any station or in any newspaper, have turned away more fans than the Yorks have themselves. And I am sure that Jed probably thinks that it is the bad reviews that are ruining his restaurant, when really it's him being a lousy chef. We got an awful lot to get into today. Let's take a couple calls real quick. This is Fernando in Redwood City, who says that he was lucky enough to get rid of his SBLs. How'd you do it?
Luckily, some sucker on the SBL marketplace paid half of it. So I lost $6,000, Damon, but I'm not paying $4,000 a year anymore, man. I can't afford it, man. When I was a season holder, I wasn't a season holder at Candlestick. I wanted to bring my family there. But honestly, what I found out is the middle class couldn't afford the new stadium. That's why no one's there no more. It's annoying. And the VP lady asked me why, Fernando. Do you like the apps? I don't care about apps. I care about a team. I care about winning. And now, like you said, the people next to me paid $40 to get in. I'm paying $150 each ticket. I can't do it anymore, Damon. I'm going to the Warriors anyways. I love the Niners. But Jed York, even his house in Los Altos is having problems. They're saying that the neighbors are complaining about his canopy is too big in his own backyard.
We don't even have enough time to get into the problems with the Jed York Cabana. We're too busy talking about Levi's. But yeah, that cabana, I bet that cabana he built for himself sucks too. What do you want to bet you'd walk into that cabana and you'd say, you know what? This place is no soul. This does not have a soul of a real cabana.
You don't know what you're doing. It's time to back away.
It's just that simple. But they won't because they own it. So that means every single person who roots for the Santa Clara whatevers are now perpetually stuck in a cycle of this is going to suck for a really long time. Because let's say for a second, they hired a genius coach who was the hottest thing in the sport. Why wouldn't they run that guy out of town the minute he started getting better headlines than them? You know what? They need to start hanging banners for stadiums that suck. Because it might be the only banner they see in a really, really long time. We've got Jack Del Rio joining us. Coming up next, it was a rough loss at Arrowhead. We'll talk to him about it in the big three remaining games for the Oakland Raiders. Stay tuned. We're just underway on a Monday. You're on the Damon Bruce Show. It's time to talk to Oakland Raider head coach Jack Del Rio, brought to you by Geico. 15 minutes can save you 15% or more on car insurance, and by Dolan's Lumber, Doors, and Windows. Lower prices, better service, higher quality. Coach, it's good to have you on, man. Thank you very much for joining us here on a Monday. I wasn't sure we were going to talk to you since you played on Thursday. I'm glad we get a chance to catch up. How are you?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
Doing excellent. Thank you very much. Everyone doing okay after a stinging loss in Kansas City?
Absolutely. Yeah. Now I said it a little bit earlier. I said, you know, we don't sit around here bathing in the adulation of our victories, and we're also not going to sit around and wallow in the misery of a loss. So, you know, we take the teaching points that need to be made and learn from the experiences, good or bad, and move forward. And that's where we are going forward, getting ready for San Diego.
On a night where not an awful lot went your way, you still played very hard. I know the passing game didn't open up like you wanted it to. We'll talk about the pinky and what role that played. You also played a really good team, and a little credit needs to go to the opponent. Kansas City was very good that night. On a cold night, in a harsh environment, playing poorly, you were still driving to tie that game with under 3 minutes to play. Do you get to take any solace in that? I know it's not a moral victory league, and you're not having a looking for moral victory season, but I thought I saw one.
Well, yeah, no, you said it all. We're not looking for moral victories. We had our opportunities, and right to the very end, we had our opportunities. But not enough plays made to go home happy, you know. But there were a lot of plays made, a lot of good plays throughout the night, and just not enough for us to go home with a big old smile on our face.
Latavius still ran very hard. He played well. I thought Kelechi Osemele missing the game, it was just a huge red flag. As soon as I thought he wouldn't be as soon as we got the news, you know, it wasn't something we knew about before the game. As soon as we got the news he wasn't going to be in there, I just thought, man, this is like the wrong game to be missing your nastiest offensive lineman in. These games are built for guys like that.
Yeah, they are. And he would love it. So, you know, fortunately, it's nothing that's going to keep him out of the next one or the next one. So that's the good news. It's it was a one game deal where he just, was too sick to play. And but, you know, he feels good now and he'll be back with us this week.
In all honesty, how much did the pinky affect Derek Carr's night?
I don't know that. I don't know that it did. That would be for him to be able to say, but every indication I've had from him is that was not, I don't think he's looking for an excuse.
His pass to Amari Cooper, the one that Cooper lost track of, and there was even talk about it possibly hitting a camera wire, and I don't know what happened. NBC says it didn't happen. Maybe you can illuminate what you thought happened there. Maybe it was a gust of wind, but I thought that ball left his hand to spiral and came down a duck, and for Amari to look so... he had it and then he didn't have it. It was just the whole play unfolded in odd fashion. What did you see?
Angel in the outfield. That's what I saw. The ball moved, in my view. The ball did move. But you know what? At the end of the day, it's one play. And there's so many different plays throughout the game. I'm not sitting here looking for excuses or any of that kind of stuff. We're not wrapped up in that. Hey, it was a good, tough, hard-fought game. They got the victory. They get the spoils. And we go forward.
The penalty that hurt the most was the Gabe Holmes play on special teams where he went out of bounds. You guys re-kick to Tyreek Hill, 78-yard punt return. King left the ball in the middle of the field. He's such a good directional punter. Was that a miss kick, Coach?
It was. It was a miss. We didn't want to be down the middle at all against that guy. He's a very dangerous punt returner. And, you know, it was a questionable call when we had to re-kick. But we did. We had to re-kick. And doggone it, if we didn't leave that ball in the middle of the field, we're a guy that's really dangerous got another crack at us.
He was good, man. He's one of the fastest cats I think I've ever seen on a football field. Like, he's in Ted Ginn Jr. world-class speed kind of territory, isn't he?
Yes, he is. He's, you know, you have guys that you look around the league and you say, this guy's fast. This guy's fast. Well, this guy's very, very fast.
Who's the fastest guy on your team? First name that pops up.
I'm not sure. Who's the fastest guy on our team, Will? Tywan Jones.
He had it ready to go. he didn't even hesitate, Tywan Jones.
Yep.
Jalen Richard seems pretty fast, too. And it's great to see him be, I think now you're second back. Is he a much better player than you guys originally ever thought he would be for you?
Well, without question. He's one of the great stories this year, and there are several great stories. But you're talking about a young man that became part of our team after being a tryout player. And then he, you know, earned a spot in camp. And then during camp, earned a spot onto our team. And then not only on our team, but, you know, into a prominent role for us. Yeah, he's a great story, a great young man.
I know Coach Del Rio, and we got Jack Del Rio here on 95.7 The Game. I know that, you know, you drive yourself crazy if you play the what we should have done game on a Monday after you play. But with the passing game as hampered as it was for whatever reason, the pinky, the conditions, the whatever, are you upset that you didn't commit more to the run? Might that have happened if KO had been playing?
Well, you know, you do the looking back, you know, the hindsight is 20/20, and as a staff, we are a little, I would say, disappointed in ourselves for not getting more big boy ball going. You know, get in there and grind it out a little bit more. Yeah, weather game, you know, quarterback wasn't red hot, obviously. You know, the run game was going pretty good. You know, I'm really looking back, we'd like to have fed it more, including that third and one late in the game. And but you don't get those do-overs. You know, you don't get those. And but yeah, I'm not afraid to sit here and say, yeah. You know, we look back, we say, doggone it, we probably should have got that going more.
I'm telling you, and that is the honest evaluation, and the fact that you share that with us is why we appreciate you appearing with us, Coach. A lot of guys would swallow that thought. Thank you for being open and honest, man. Did you tell Andy Reid after the game, see you in a couple weeks?
Yeah, I did.
That's awesome.
And that wasn't out on vacation either.
That's what I thought. Yeah, I was seeing the Poconos.
No, exactly. So, yeah, that was that was overdone. I mean, you know, we've known each other. Andy and I have known each other for a long time. Our wives know each other. He's a good man. So, you know, there's nothing personal between us. But, you know, I want to kill him, and he wants to kill me. That's what friends do. That's what you do best in a competitive situation.
I've always thought NFL coaches were a little bit like the Shepherd and Wile E. Coyote and the old Looney Tunes. Like, you guys clock in, and then you protect or hunt the sheep, and then at the end of the day, you clock out, and everyone's friends.
Reminds me of some good cartoons growing up.
Absolutely. Three massive games remaining, Coach, starting Sunday in San Diego. The Chargers, no matter what shape they're in, are always a handful in division. What are you preparing for Sunday?
Yeah, no, you said it right. You know, it's a team that very, very capable. Phillip Rivers led team. They've had a ton of injuries, and it just hasn't mattered for Phillip to keep that offense going at a high level. Defensively, they're playing very well. Special teams, and it's a good football team that's ended up losing some close games. But we have a lot of respect for them, and obviously a divisional game, and we're going to be fired up for it.
How's Mario Edwards Jr. doing? I know he's returned to practice. Will he be returning to the field Sunday?
We'll see. We'll see how the practice goes during the week, and when it's appropriate, we'll get him active.
Here's your favorite question. It's about Aldon Smith, who's got to be one of the most anxious guys in the world right now. He's met with Roger Goodell. He's waiting for a decision. Do you think you'll be coaching him before the end of the season?
I have no idea. I remain hopeful. I know they met. I know that he served his time, and he's, from all indications that I've received, that he's done all the things that he's needed to do. Now it's up to the commissioner to make that decision.
I tell you what, you guys have done all the things you needed to do to put yourself in position to close this season strong. If it happens, the division could still be there. I know that you're playing for big, big, big things, but you got to take it one at a time. Always appreciate your time, Coach. Thanks very much, and we'll catch up with you Monday after you beat San Diego.
That sounds good to me. Appreciate it.
Thanks very
much. See you next week.
You got it. Jack Del Rio here on 95.7 The Game. Always good to catch up with Coach. When we come on back, what'd you think of what Coach had to say? Very honest. Should have run the ball more. Angel in the outfield. Call it a devil in the outfield if it goes against you, right? I mean, that was not... Something happened. At least we know that. We don't know what happened. Gust of wind, hand to God, Lamar Hunt's ghost. I don't know what happened. But that ball left his hand to spiral, came down a duck, and Amari Cooper, who's at very least good at tracking a ball, if nothing else, went from, I know where it is, to I have no idea where it is. Something weird happened. 888-957-9570 is the number. When we come on back, your phone calls and Jeremy Newberry ethering the idea of anyone named York coming to help the 49ers. That's next.
The second one from the Raider 15. Tyreek Hill backpedals, room to go. 25, 30, straight ahead, 40, midfield. Here he goes. He's gone. 30, 20, they will never catch him. What a call there by Andy Reid to make the Raiders punt it over again. And Tyreek Hill takes it 76 yards. For a punt return touchdown to blow the game wide open now.
That one hurt because it was the special teams and offense that led the Raiders kind of to the loss at Arrowhead. When normally they're the two parts of the three-part equation that is offense, defense, special teams that shows up, and it's the defense that leaves you scratching your head going, man, that's got to get a little bit better before you start winning football games of consequence. The defense played at Arrowhead was probably one of the best defensive games of the year, with the exception of the Tyreek Hill long touchdown pass, and of course the Tyreek Hill touchdown return in the punt that you just heard Greg Papa call there. Oh, that hurt. I appreciate the fact that Jack Del Rio was like, here's what we could have done better, and I don't have an ego that permits me from sharing that with you. Here is the second guessing we've done. That whole, like, we don't have any regrets style of coaching, which, by the way, seems to have defined the 49ers right up to this week when, got Chip Kelly talking about his regrets going ultra-conservative in the second half. I appreciate it. I really, really do. I appreciate Jack Del Rio. I think that honesty hits his ears, team, as well as it hits our ear. You know who's not helping you, Gianna? The person who's telling you what you want to hear.
Mm-hmm.
You got to be honest. You got to be completely honest. This is where I think Jed York has done himself wrong. There is no doubt in my mind that that guy went way, way out of his way to insulate himself with a wall of yes men 360 degrees around them.
It's never a good thing.
Oh, I think that's a great idea. Why don't you have a wall of glass on one side of the stadium, rendering it absolutely silent, while the other side of the stadium sits in the sun that no one will like? That's a great idea, Jed. Let's do that.
Yes, let's do that.
In one meeting with Jed York, I could have saved him from himself. One day. What? Just a shred of honesty would have gone a really, really, really long way. Let's go to Steve in Marin. He wants to talk some Raider football here on 95.7 The Game. Steve.
Hey, Damon. Great interview with JDR. How you doing, Gianna? You know, forgive me for bringing it up, but I feel it needs to be discussed. That ball that just fell out of the air, and I may be making too much about this, but, you know, I played football in high school through college. I was a quarterback. I've coached at the high school level. I've seen a lot of football in my time. I've seen a lot of weird trajectories on a ball, and I've never really seen a ball just kind of fall out of the air like that, and coupled with the fact that, you know, nobody was in front of Cooper. He had everybody beat. I smell something a little foul. Now, considering that there was a year and a half of scrutiny and investigations with Deflategate, I think I'd hope somebody would at least look at this and give me an answer.
Honestly, I think you're looking for a conspiracy theory that only exists if you believe the like Buffalo Wild Wings commercial where the guy behind the bar has one of the tap handles that make the game go haywire so they can sell more chicken wings in overtime. Like, even if indeed the ball was interfered with by a camera, that camera is not operated by the Kansas City Chiefs. I mean, there are a few things that get filed under total accident. And if there was indeed a wire that interfered with that ball, it is a total accident. And it's one that is so rare, it's never occurred in a game that I've ever watched or covered or seen.
Yeah, and I appreciate it. It's not a conspiracy theory. I just want an explanation.
I wish we had one for you. I think Jack would like that, too. Thank you so much for the call. Good to talk to you, Steve. I wish we had an explanation for you. How about this from the text line? And this says, this is coming from a Chiefs fan, by the way. Signed, Chiefs fan. Damon, I was at the game, section 118, row 8. The ball hit the wire where I saw it with my own eyes. Okay. That's one person. Not another person in the stadium has confirmed this. And I'm not calling you a liar. I'm just saying that our eyes deceive us.
Sure.
There's nothing worse than an eyewitness, right? You could have six people watch the same traffic accident and get six completely different stories. Maybe it did. Something odd, something abnormal happened that made a ball that left a hand to spiral come down a duck at a trajectory that did not exactly follow the rainbow. I don't know what happened. I don't know what happened, but I'm sure if anything there happened, it happened by accident. There's no way teams would be able to play defense with wiring over the stadium.
No.
I even saw a breakdown, it might have been on Deadspin, that said if indeed the camera. Okay, let me prop up one myth, and let me dispel one myth. The propped up myth is that the way the camera was situated in that moment, the wiring might indeed have been at an angle where that pass to that part of the field might have been over there. What I reject, what I'm here to dismiss, is this whole notion of if the ball had hit that wire, the camera would have shook. No, not at all. That's a Steadicam. That's got its own gyroscope. That's mm-hmm. what I'm looking at. Geosynchronous means you are rotating above the Earth at the same point at all times, like a geosynchronous satellite.
Mm-hmm.
A geosynchronous satellite over Cleveland is always over Cleveland.
Right.
The gyroscope in the camera keeps that. Ever walk around and see somebody shooting with a steady camera?
Yeah.
You could go up to them and shake them by their shoulders, and you would never detect that on the actual camera. So the notion that the camera didn't wobble means nothing to the argument. The camera's built not to wobble should it be interfered with. So forget that. But maybe indeed the wire was there. Not a single person captured that. I always said the only way Kennedy gets assassinated that day is if that day was that day There's no way that happens right now without us knowing what exactly what happened, because, you know, Abraham Zapruder was the one guy filming the historic event. You have 5,000 cameras pointed at everything at every single time now during a game. You got people filming, people taking pictures. You've got the all 12 camera. You've got or the all 22 camera. You've got a million different angles. It seems like somebody would have offered up definitive evidence of something by now if anyone had it, but no one doesn't.
Which is kind of strange considering how many cameras are on at the time.
So maybe it's the wind.
Yeah, who knows? There was something
abnormal.
But it was funky. It was something funky.
An abnormal gust of wind. I told you that I was going to play this Jeremy Newberry sound for you, and I don't want to bait and switch you like the Yorks. So what I want to do is just play this for you and then remind everybody on hold. We will come back. Wait. We got to go right to Elway Mark, who lives in Los Altos, who says he rigs spider cameras for a living. Elway.
Hey, how you doing?
Doing very well. Do you work for a production company?
Call me L.A. Mark because I'm a Dodger fan and I live in the Bay Area.
Oh,
so I respect my Giants fans, my friends. I'm a motion picture studio grip. And what I do is I rig that spider cam that goes across stadiums. I always knew that it would eventually present a problem. I just knew it. And because, I mean, like, Mr. Davis, like, you know, represents punters and sea bass and the kickers. And I just knew it. And then last night, you know, at that game, it came to fruition. It's like, yeah. I mean, I was telling my boss, I said, this is going to get in the way of the game.
But you didn't rig the camera over Arrowhead.
No.
You have done it before.
I felt the process of Spider Cam. I worked on... So it's at every stadium on the planet right now.
Right.
And if you think about it, it's kind of like working for Southern California Edison. It's like you rig this wire across 150 yards of tundra and, you know, and this camera, you see it every, you know, you go to a game, you see it. It's like, and the cables are sagging, and it's getting old, and it's like, it's going to get in the way, and it did.
Well, here's the thing, but we still don't know. And L.A. Mark, thank you very much. I appreciate it. It said Elway Mark. I thought, L.A. Mark. I got it. Look, I don't know. If it were a huge problem, I think we would have seen it more than once. And again, the one time we're claiming to have seen it, we're not even sure. This feels like the Loch Ness monster of what happened. We don't have any proof of it, but people insist it's real. Someone on Twitter is like, Damon, I'm calling it the Immaculate Deflection. Jorge and Clayton, good job. Text line, not Twitter. All right, real quick. I know I'm a little late, but I'm going to play this anyways. If Jed York really were indeed sent to the kids' table and mom and dad were up to Denise and John York to prepare dinner once again, Jeremy Newberry says expect nothing.
Well, how did he do last time? Let's start there. He came in after Eddie DeBarlo and took a proud franchise and ran him into the dirt. Frankly, I mean, they were terrible when he was at the helm, and I was part of it, and I got to suffer through a lot of those years, and the guy don't know football. Plain and frankly, he don't know football. He's a decent businessman running shopping centers and doing what he does, but that's what he needs to stick to. He needs to get a business person in there or a football person in there to run the football operations. He can run the business part of it. I hope his active role is, you know, figuring out sponsorship names for the stadium after Levi is done or something. I mean, that needs to be his more active role, not running that football team.
Jeremy Newberry on KPIX. That's pretty good. He's like, what he needs to do is just make sure that somebody sponsors that stadium if Levi's is ever smart enough to pull the hell out. Ouch. When we come on back next hour, we're going to come on back with David Wesley. He does color commentary for the New Orleans Pelicans. We haven't really talked a lick about the Warriors or how they wrap up this 5-game road trip tomorrow night. So we're going to do that with David Wesley, a long, illustrious NBA career. 15 years, man. Guy could ball, too. He's going to join us next on 95.7 The Game.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.